Things looked bleak for the children at George Mueller's orphanage in England. It was time for breakfast, and there was no food. It was 1874. They had 2,100 orphans they fed and clothed with no government support. It was all faith in God. Can you imagine having 2,100 kids? In the dining room, there were long tables set with empty plates and empty mugs. Not only was there no food in the kitchen, but there was no money in the bank. Mueller never asked people for money or donations. He trusted that when he told God their needs, God would provide. Mueller prayed, "Dear Father, we thank you for what you're going to give us to eat this morning." Immediately, they heard a knock at the door. When they opened it, there stood a local baker. He said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt that you had no bread for breakfast, and so I got up at 2 in the morning and baked fresh bread. Here it is." Mueller thanked him and gave praise to God. Soon a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. He said he'd like to give the children the milk so he could empty the cart so he could repair it. Don't you think that prayer makes a difference in our lives and in our world? Pray. Philippians 4:19. It says that you provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Help us to learn to trust you more than our bank accounts, more than our connections, and more than our jobs. You are the one who daily provides our food and drink. We want to trust you in every area of our lives and for the world we live in. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been going through the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Today's text is Daniel 10:1-21. Ernie will put it up so you can follow along. The book of Daniel is broken into two parts. The first six chapters are kind of a circle that goes around Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They represent the thousands of Jews that are exiled in Jerusalem to Babylon, about 1,700 miles in foot in chains. The four young men end up in the king's court as wise men after extensive training. They rise like cream to the top because of God's favor in their lives. But instead of blending in and enjoying the good life of the courts, they constantly are jeopardizing their own lives to stand for the one true God. Repeatedly, they're on the edge of the knife, but the Lord sees them through. Most of us want to see God move in powerful ways, but this rarely happens when we stay in our comfort zones. Usually God shows up when there's no other way for us to fix it or make our own way. He wants us to depend on him fully, to rely on him completely. Faced with execution, with fiery furnaces, with a lion's den, and each time they live to face another day. In the second half of the book, chapters 7-12 in Daniel, the focus is on three visions or dreams the prophet Daniel has. The images of dreams seem dramatic, otherworldly, and are somehow pointing to a time in the future. The first one in chapter 7 reveals four beasts, each symbolizing arrogant kingdoms who oppose God and persecute God's people. In Daniel 8, it focuses on two kingdoms represented by a ram, very possibly the Medes and Persians, and then a goat, possibly representing ancient Greece. The goat will attack Jerusalem and defy the temple, but in the end will be destroyed. The third vision dream Daniel encounters will fill up the last three chapters of the book of Daniel, chapter 10-12. Daniel 10, verse 1. It starts out like the previous three chapters by identifying the time period by saying this was in the third year of Cyrus the king. The vision Daniel had was pointing to a great conflict toward a future event. Verse 2 and 3, it says, Daniel had been mourning for 3 weeks, had not eaten rich foods or meat or wine, no fragrant lotions. In hot climates such as Babylon, people would have used oils to be a comfort in the drier temperatures. Have you ever gone through a grieving period of loss or brokenness? Sometimes you feel so sick to your stomach, you can't eat, you don't wash your hair, you stay in pajamas all day. Daniel 10, 4-6, the prophet begins explaining his encounter with the vision. It is the 24th day of the month, and Daniel's standing by the Tigris River when he encounters a heavenly being. Clothed in linen with a belt of gold, his face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, arms and legs of bronze. The sounds of his words were like a roar of a multitude. It's hard to comprehend encountering a heavenly being or even describing what one looks like. Verse 7, Daniel explains that he only saw the vision, but the other people that were with him at the river became terrified. It says, a great trembling came upon them, so they fled, running for the hills as fast as their feet could carry them. The whole thing sounds kind of spooky. Daniel 10, 8 and 9, Daniel explains his own condition. His strength left him. He grew deathly pale. Some have used the expression as white as a ghost. He's so weak, basically fainting with his face on the ground when he heard the sounds of his words. Have you ever fainted? It can be very disorienting. Verse 10 and 11, a hand touched Daniel, roused him to his hands and knees, and said to him, Daniel, greatly beloved, pay attention to the words I'm going to speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I've been sent to speak to you. I think this is how God feels about each one of us. Kelly, greatly beloved. Lisa, greatly beloved. Cam, greatly beloved. You can put your name in there. Verse 12, he said, do not fear, Daniel. For the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I've come because of your words. What was Daniel mourning for? That's mentioned in verse 2 in the text. Daniel was seeking direction from God. He was putting himself in a position to encounter God. How did Daniel do this? He set aside some of the normal activities any of us could partake in. Rich foods, some of our favorite foods, meat, drinking wine, even doing with some of the comforts to help in a dry climate. Daniel was intentionally seeking God, humbled himself before God. Sometimes we do this by giving up even good things for a time period, food, drink, activity, to seek the one thing that we cannot do without, the presence of God. God heard Daniel's prayers. God hears our prayers. It says this heavenly being comes to Daniel because of his words, prayers. Sometimes we do not see immediately results or actions from our intercession, but it does not mean things are not happening in the spiritual world. Daniel 10:13 continues, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me 21 days. So Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So considering we live in both a physical and spiritual world, it should not be surprising that there are both physical kingdoms and rulers who are changing throughout history, but there are also spiritual rulers over geographical regions. Ephesians 6, 10, 12 reminds us, our battle is not against flesh and blood people, but rather our battles in the spiritual realm. And this is what it says. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Instead of fighting your neighbor, your family member, someone at school, the politician, why don't we try praying first? The heavenly being that comes to Daniel had been detained until Michael the archangel came to assist him against the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Verse 14, the heavenly being says the reason for his coming, and I've come to help you understand what is happening to your people at the end of days. Daniel 10, 15 to 20, Daniel, the prophet, becomes weak again and seems to lose all strength with all that is happening and being said to him. Verse 17, Daniel says, and I've come to help you understand what's happening to your people at the end of days. Verse 18, just like in verse 10, the heavenly being touches Daniel and he regains his strength. Verse 19, the heavenly being says to Daniel, do not fear, greatly beloved. You are safe. Be strong and courageous. And Daniel responds, go ahead and speak. How often do we need God to speak similar words to our hearts, affirming over and over that we are loved, that the Lord is for us, and as a result, we can respond with courage and strength in the situation we find ourselves in. The last two verses, Daniel 10, 20, 21. Then he said, do you know why I've come to you? Now I must return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I'm through with him, the prince of Greece will come. But I'm to tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is no one with me who contends against these princes except Michael and your prince. The nation of Israel is under the opposition of both the king of Babylon and then the king of Persia and Greece in the physical realm. But there's also a battle happening in the spiritual realm. J. Edgar Hoover said this, the spectacle of a nation praying is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of the atomic bomb. The force of prayer is greater than any possible combination of human-made or human-controlled powers. Because prayer is humanity's greatest means of tapping the infinite resources of God. Invoking by prayer the mercy and mighty of God is our most effective means of guaranteeing peace and security for the harassed and the helpless peoples of the earth. It is God and God alone we should place our trust. How often have we seen through the world's history that we've tried to solve our issues through political means, governments, nations, and kingdoms, but it never really seems to work out. It seems like we're in as much a mess as we've ever been. This is humanity's way in trying to answer the sin issue and the incredible brokenness everywhere. Countries rise up and immediately seem to be swelled with pride and power and dominance over others. Are you surprised at all to hear there are spiritual influences, princes over regions that are playing a role, having a direct impact in our physical world and outcomes? On smaller issues in our everyday lives, we see answers to prayer. What appears to be immovable mountains or obstacles do sometimes end up falling into the sea. As Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown to the sea, and it'll happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. All things are possible when God is a part of the equation. We have a friend in Regina who has asbestos cancer, which is incurable, and has gone into her brain. At the time she had this started, her daughter was 6 years old. Life expectancy with this kind of cancer is 4 months to 18 months. Carrie's dad had asbestos cancer and died within 12 months. Brenda is at the four-year mark right now. How do you leave a six-year-old? It's been completely incredible. We can't believe it. We keep praying, and she keeps living. If God can move mountains in our personal lives, do you think it's possible that he can do things with nations of the world? When we see nations and leaders acting with unthinkable evil, there are spiritual movements behind it. But this does not stop God and his people from pushing back. Longman III. Throughout most periods of history, the people of God have been oppressed, and they can see no human escape from their oppression. The fact that God has scripted history and the rescue of his people is the punchline, is a cause for great optimism and celebration. We know how this ends. So there have been battles in the spiritual realm right from the beginning. But when Jesus comes to set up his kingdom, and in doing so, he foreshadows how he's going to make all things right, whole, that are broken in our world. He heals the sick. He casts out demons that are torturing their hosts. He sets captives free and speaks with complete authority over the created world. Peace to the raging storm. And how does Jesus gain complete victory over evil? Through power, revenge, or destruction of his enemies? No. He sacrifices his own life on the cross which ironically defeats all powers and principalities forever. And as Jesus' followers, we have victory over all the powers and principalities because he now resides within us. We do not war in the spiritual world alone, but always with Christ. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? Just as we've died in our old life of sin, often envisioned through baptism, we're also resurrected into new life with Jesus. And so we pray for our institutions that are sometimes full of unhealthy desires and faulty goals. We pray for our families and friends that have not encountered the risen Christ who longs to heal and set them free. We pray for ourselves and our church community over temptation and being drawn into sin. And we pray for the nations of the world that can only find peace in the God who is peace, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this incredible world that you have made. But unfortunately, because of sin and evil actions, it's deeply broken. We want to join with you in your kingdom as you desire to bring wholeness to every part of our universe. Burden us to pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done, first in us, and then secondly to our neighbors that you've called us to love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Change, your faithful will remain.
have a couple announcements, benediction, and then we'll sing one more song, and you'll be dismissed. Dave calls sledding snowmobiling. I don't think that's what the youth are doing down Cardiff Hill. It's toboggans, I think. That's March 1st. By next Thursday, it's supposed to be minus 2. I think we'll be fine. Also, Grief Share, that's a group that's going to be starting in March. If you're interested in that, you can contact Ernie or contact the office. People are interested in getting water baptized. If you are interested in learning more or want to be a part of it, contact me or the church office. If you want prayer today, in the back corner after church, someone will be there to pray with you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that the victory, the defeated sin and death happened at the cross in Jesus' resurrection and ascension. We have encountered somebody who's greater than death. Amen. And now we need to live this reality out. Amen.
Fantastic week.